All right, let's dive in the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. Father, thank you again for your Word. We pray, God, your Holy Spirit will come upon us and minister that Word to us today. We need to hear from you. And dear God, we pray that you would just speak this Word to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 5 verses 1 through 11, the title of this message is From Failure to Success. From Failure to Success. Let me just start off by saying failure is not final. Failure is not final. I bring this up because many folks feel like they have failed in the past and they cannot be used again or something. Failure is not final. So the question that you may have after that, then how can I go from failure to success? And I bring this up because I know a lot of you have failed and have fallen short. Or if you not, just keep living. You will. But when you do, how can you turn that into a success? And I believe these verses is going to give us a hint. It's going to show us six principles that we can learn from these verses how to go from failure to success. Number one, by pressing in to hear the Word of God. Pressing in to hear the Word of God. Number two, by not giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Number three, allowing God to stretch you. Allowing God to stretch you. Number four, putting out a little before you go into the deep. Putting out a little before you go into the deep. Number five, totally obeying, not partially obeying. Totally obeying, not partially obeying. And number six, forsaken all for Christ. Look what he says there in verse one. So it was as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, you have to understand at this particular time, the popularity of Jesus was growing. And according to Mark's gospel, they were pressing against Jesus to the point where they were crushing him. And this moves us, this verse moves us to the first principle of going from failure to success is number one, pressing in to hear the word of God. What a joy to see people pressing in to hear the word of God being taught. This shows us that the word of God has a priority in their lives. We see this happening in our church, people pressing in to hear the word of God being taught. It reminds me of what Mark 2:2 says. When the people heard that Jesus was in the house, they pressed into the house where there were no more room, not even near the door, and Jesus preached the word to them. And we see this starting to happen in our church, folks pressing in to hear the word of God. Parking lots full and folks are waiting all the way at the stoplight, all the way down to Van Costa's restaurant, waiting to turn, make a left turn, to come in, to press in, to hear the word of God. People are tired of the show when they come to church. They're tired of the shout and the entertainment and the eye candy, so to speak. They're tired of all that stuff. They want to be taught the word of God. And folks know they come here. You're going to be taught the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. And when people get a taste of that, when you get a taste of this particular way of teaching, a diet of this kind of teaching, you won't want anything else. Anything else just not going to do it. And folks are starting to press in. They're telling their friends, you just got to come hear this stuff. You just gotta come here. You gotta come check it out. And we're seeing that taking place, in our lives where the word of God is a priority in people's lives. Now, if you want to go from failure to success, you must press in to hear the word of God being taught as well. And making the word of God a priority in your life. Is the word of God a priority in your life? What I mean is that you wake up each morning and you're grabbing for the word of God. Before you grab that coffee and turn on that computer and click on that, turn on that phone and all kind of stuff. Are you getting into the word of God? Most of you, you might have your Bible on your phone. That's the world we live in today. But is the word of God a priority in your life? Or are you waking up saying, God, what do you have to say to me today? What do you have to say? How are you going to guide my life? That's how the Word of God, if you want to go from failure to success, the Word of God must have a priority in your life. You must press in to hear the Word of God. Press in means that you're pressing against some kind of opposition. Not losing heart when you got to drive around the parking lot one or two times before you get a space. Because you say, no matter what, hey, you know what? I'm going to come get this Word being taught. The Word of God becomes that priority in your life, and that's how you can go from failure to success. The second way is by not giving up. Don't give up. Look what it says there in verse 2. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Now, as we will see in the following verses, that one of the fishermen, it was Peter. And if we were Peter, we would have been tempted to give up, sell our nets, and not wash them, because they just spent all night fishing. We're going to see that in the following verses. They spent all night fishing, so why bother washing nets and all that sort of stuff? You wash the nets to get the old fish guts out of them and all that kind of stuff. They ain't caught nothing, so why wash the nets and waste the time? Man, let me get out of this fishing business. But Peter is an example for us that just because, like him, we may come up empty in ministry, we're not to sell our nets and turn our backs or give up, because like Peter, we don't know what would happen right around the corner. Are you tempted to give up on some ministry because you don't see the results you thought you would see? Are you ready to give up on that marriage and give up on that job? You're like, well, you know, they passed me over again, and you know, and every time you get passed over for a position you thought you should get, you're ready to jump ship. I hear it all the time. Well, you know, I was supposed to be, they told me I was next in line, but somebody else got it, so I'm leaving. And that's your way of pouting and getting mad and taking your ball and going home. You're big babies, and you know it. And that's the kind of stuff that you miss out on what God is trying to do in your life. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due season. It's not your season. Well, but they told me, they promised me I was up for next. You're not ready. Just by you ready to leave and jumping ship and putting out your resume, that showed you wasn't ready for that position. You're not ready. You couldn't even endure a little opposition coming against you. Someone else got it before you. It was their season. Stop being a baby. Dry your tears, do your job, and wait for God to give you your season, bring you into your season. Oh, I didn't even say that first service. That's for somebody. Somebody. That's for somebody. God, he knows. That's why you came here, to get this Word. You pressed in through the rain and the ugly weather out there that y'all love this time of year. You pressed in because you came to get that Word right there. And so it is, and I always say, it's always too soon to give up. Always too soon to give up. And so often we give up because we're impatient, especially when it comes to seeing results. We're results-oriented people. We want to see results. And God is saying, no, I'm grooming you right now. I'm taking some things out of your life. I'm moving some people in your life and positioning you. And we're like, who are these folks? What's going on? What? Because we want to see the results right now. And because of that, we give up when our breakthrough was just about to happen. Notice that they were washing their nets even though they caught nothing. The reason for this was because had they not washed their nets and stretched them, they would rot. Every time the nets were used, they had to be washed with fresh water and stretched, if the nets were to remain useful. They had to be stretched. And this moves us to the third principle in going from failure to success, is number 3, allowing God to stretch you. Allowing God to stretch you. Allowing God to stretch you. So, see, we, like the disciples, are nets in God's hands that must be constantly washed with the fresh water of the Word of God and stretched if we are to remain useful. So my question for you is, are you being stressed today? Are you wondering why? What's going on? And you say, I'm not being used by God, so, well, you know, why even bother? trying to serve somewhere. See, because you don't know what God is doing and about to do in your life, God doesn't use the people that are on the sidelines, rotting away and becoming brittle. No, he touches and uses the ones who are being washed in the water of the word, and watch this, and stretched. God is doing this because he is stretching us out of our comfort zones. See, we have to see this. See, God has to stretch us because we have the tendency of playing it safe all the time. Staying in our comfort zones. So this means stay in the word of God personally and get taught in church collectively, because you don't know that your breakthrough is around the corner. God has to stretch you. Right now, you just a little bitty hairnet. And God wants to stretch you to be able to have a greater capacity to love him and to love the people he wants you to minister to. He has to stretch you out of your little hairnet comfort zone and stretch you so you can have the capacity to love him more, the capacity to love the people he's going to bring into your life. If he brought a bunch of people into your life and you just a hairnet, you'd be like, who are these people? These people get on my nerve. What's wrong? I don't want these people. God needs to stretch you. Stretch you out of your little world. Stretch you out of your little comfort zone. I believe God is doing that. I was talking to someone after first service. He said that was a timely word. He said, because I'm being stretched. I'm being stretched. And God knows that you need to be stretched. I need to be stretched out of my comfort zone. So, look what it says there in verse 3. It says, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Jesus got into the boat for two reasons. A, to keep the people from crushing him to death. And B, to use the water as a natural amplifier. As he pushed out from the shore, as his voice hit the water, it will be able to be amplified, and he can teach the word of God in a very conversational tone to 15, 20,000 people at a time. So that's why he had to push back from the shore so he can share with them. Now, why did Jesus need Peter to take him out into the water? So Peter can be in a place where he can hear the word of God. Do you see how Jesus uses Peter's boat? I want you to notice, Jesus used Peter's boat for ministry. He said, Peter, you know, take me out a little bit. And guess what? He wants to use your boat as well. He wants to use maybe your home for a small group. He wants to use maybe your vehicle to bring some people to church. He wants to use your resources to reach more people who are far from God. He can use your boat, whatever that is in your context, like he used Peter's, if we allow him. So often we don't allow him. This is my house. You know, many folks all up in my house. And stuff. This is my car. They gonna get in here and put their shoes all in, get dirt all, bring it all in here. Are you willing to allow God to use the boat in your life for ministry? What you have, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, what do you have that you have not received? And if you have indeed received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? What do you have that hasn't been given to you from God? The home you're in, the apartment that you're in, the car that you drive, or the van that you drive. What do you have that you have not received? And if you have indeed received it, why do you boast? And this is mine, it's my stuff. He's giving you things to use for his glory and his kingdom. What boat that's in your life are you using for God? Your boat can be your house. It can be your car. It can be your finances. Or what are you using? Oh, you're like, this is mine, my stuff. You wonder why you're not being used. Peter was used because he was there. He was there. And the Lord said, you know what, Peter, take me out a little bit in your boat. Look what he says there. Because we're going to move into the fourth principle and going from failure to success is number four, putting out a little before you launch out in the deep. Look what he said there in verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. See, it wasn't until Jesus told Peter in verse 3 to put out a little that he was able to launch out into the deep in verse 4. My problem so often is that I want the Lord to launch me out into the deep before I put out a little. I hear people say all the time, Lord, use me in a great way. Use me to raise the dead, heal the sick, and all that sort of stuff. And you can't even teach children or park cars. Yet Zechariah tells us in Zechariah 4:10 says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. So if you're wondering why you aren't in deeper waters of ministry, maybe it's because you haven't been obedient in launching out in the little things or the small things. The areas of ministry that get little notice and little recognition. You want to be in the deep waters of public recognition when you're not willing to launch out in the little things, the things that get little notice and little recognition. You immediately want to the deep things of public recognition so you can be recognized. And God is saying, you know what? How about those little things? It reminds me of someone who's here at our church, who used to be in youth ministry at a couple of the churches before coming here. And he's been sitting a while, just taking it all in. And all of a sudden, he said, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I was a little late for the meeting this morning. I teach a leadership class in Sunday mornings for those who are in any kind of leadership here. He said, I'm sorry, I'm a little late. He said, I was up all night. He said, because I'm due to teach today. I said, oh, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, you're going to teach back there with the youth? He said, no, this is my first day to teach the first graders. Launching out a little before God had them launch in the deep. Ready to do the little things, the things that get little notice. But so often we want to be launched out into the deep before we've put out a little. It wasn't like he came here and said, you know, I'm big time youth pastor, you know, I did this and now, you know, immediately when folks come at me like that, I'd be, I don't even want to hear all that mess because the Bible says your gift will make room for itself. You don't have to come here trying to tell us how many letters you got in front and back of your name and all this sort of what you've done. We don't care. We care what you've done. What do we care about that? You're a servant? Don't sound like it. So we're very cautious when it comes to folks like that. But no, he just came and just, you know, and I just saw him. I was just watching him, just over time, just watching him. Mm-hmm, I see you. Mm-hmm. And then I just began to inquire. Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? What have you done? Hey, and just inquire. And then next thing you know, he says, yeah, I've been back there in the back. I said, oh, you've been back with the youth. He said, no, I've just been in the children's ministry. And I was like, he gets it. And some of you want to be launched out in the deep and you're not even willing to go and hold some babies. You want to be the great person in ministry and you're not even willing to take some kids to the restroom or give them their snack. Because that stuff is, you don't get much notice. No one sees you back over there in the children's ministry. We can always give a person a test of whether they're ready for ministry. We send them right back there. If you can take the word of God and break it down for a little kid to understand, you can keep their attention, you'd be fine. That's the acid test for Calvary Chapel's how we guys feel, I'm called to ministry. We said, really? You really called? Yes, the Lord has called me. Okay. We got some babies need to be held. Some toddlers need to be taken to the potty. You all right with that? What do you mean? I said I'm called to ministry. That's ministry. See you. Tell them right on back there. We have to be willing to put out a little before God launches us out in the deep. I remember the day of small beginnings. I remember when there were only 8 to 12 people on a Wednesday night. We used to meet in a guy's garage. He had a one-car garage. He put some carpet down. We threw some chairs up. It used to be 8 people on a Wednesday night. And boy, we were really packing it out when we had 12. I remember when we used to meet in the elementary school when we first got started, and we had a Sunday night service, and there was only 6 people on a Sunday night. And then just like everything else, you know, when you have a church in somebody's house, it gets old. And then all of a sudden we had to take our Wednesday night service. And I said, well, I took it to my living room. And then we outgrew my living room, and then I had a 2-car garage, not a 1. I had a 2-car, threw down some old carpet from somewhere, and I don't know where we got it from, and got some chairs from somebody, donated them some 1930 looking chairs, and we put them down. We can get about 35, 40 folks in there now. I remember the days of small beginnings. Don't despise those days. God was stretching me to see if I was going to be faithful in the small things. I remember those days clearly. Those days like yesterday. Couldn't believe we moved to another little building after the school, and it was like, you know, it was a little office building right around the corner here. Get about 50 chairs in there. And I couldn't believe it. Whoa. Hey, guess what? We're about to go to 2 services. And 50 chairs. I remember those days. Children's ministry were upstairs. All we heard over our head was thunder. Goom, 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 goom. Kids running. Wah, 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 wah. And I'm trying to teach them. And God says, goom, 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 over my head. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, because before God can take you into deeper waters, you got to be first willing to put out a little. Look what he says there in verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, the Greek word for master is teacher. And Peter doesn't refer to Jesus as creator of all things or God of the universe. Rather, he calls him teacher, as if to say Jesus, Bible teacher. We are the fishermen. You teach us spiritual things and leave this fishing stuff to us. This is our territory. Because everyone in Galilee knows that you fish at night, not in the morning time. And this moves us to the 5th principle in going from failure to success, is number 5, to totally obeying God instead of partially obeying. Look what it says in the second part of verse 5. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. It is very unfortunate if you have a newer translation, because the newer translations messed up this valuable concept and omitted what I'm about to say. It's in my Bible, but if you have a newer one, which I believe most of you probably do, it jacks it all up. Jacks it up. Jesus says in verse 4, let down your nets, plural. And in verse 5, Peter, not wanting to let them down, said, I will partially obey you and let down my net, singular. But yours got 2 S's there. Yeah, so what? Y'all messed up? Y'all messed up? No, I'm just joking. But mine is singular. What happened when he partially obeyed? Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net, singular, was breaking. Their net, singular, was starting to break because Jesus said, let down your nets, plural, previously. I can't tell you how often we have been in this situation where the Lord has told us to break off a relationship or something, and we partially obey. You say, well, I'm not seeing them anymore, but you know, we still talk. Or the Lord said, leave that job because they have you missing church, no time for your family, and they also have you doing questionable things, but you partially obey and say, well, I'm not there that much. I'm just part-time. We partially obey. The Lord said, delete those sites off your computer and get out of those special chat rooms, and you partially obey and delete them, but you secretly save them in your favorites. Partially obeying. Peter, let down your nets, plural. But Peter let down his net, singular. And because he partially obeyed, his net, singular, was starting to break. And he was about to lose this incredible catch because he partially obeyed. And so too, the same is with us. You are about to lose that incredible catch of a spouse because you refuse to totally obey and leave that person alone, or delete those sites, or get out of those chat rooms, or stop texting. How do I know this? Because your net singular is starting to break. The relationship is showing signs of strain. It's starting to break. You're starting to break down emotionally, trying to juggle two men or two women. That's what I said to the other one. Oh, okay. And all this straight. No man can serve two masters. The Bible says you either love one or hate the other. Trying to juggle these folks. Remembering what you told this one and then that one catching you, but you're like, oh, I meant that was for you, and calling them that name and that, and you just messing up. Messing up. It has been rightfully said, partial obedience is total disobedience. And we see this in a lot of our lives. We just partially obey. We say, well, I did it. But you didn't do it all the way. But I did it. Not all the way. So you partially obey. So partial obedience is total disobedience. Look at verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Good grief. This is so good because the same is true for us. If we don't call for help, we will try to take the catch in ourselves. Our boat will sink. Call for help before your boat sinks. The boat of your marriage, the boat of the job, or your emotional boat. You start to sink into depression. Call for help. Men, this is big for us. Don't allow your pride to keep you from calling for help. Telling your wife, don't put our business out. I'm telling folks our business, getting folks in our business. Let me just let you in on a little secret. She's already been talking. Talking to her sisters, talking to her mother, talking to co-workers, the cashier at Walmart. She don't care. Anybody asks her, how are you doing? Oh, you really want to know? That guy at home, my guy. And you just think she's not talking. And you tell them, don't tell our business. And she already told it. You the one that's just coming along, not even realizing. She's talked already. She's been talking. Ladies, just a little warning. Don't disrespect your husband by telling a bunch of folks that he feels betrayed when you do that. But men, let me just go back to us. Oh, she's going to talk. She got to talk. She can't keep it for us. We just sit and take it all in, take it all in, take it all in. Let me tell you something. She ain't going to keep it all in like that. She's going to talk to somebody. Oh, no, my wife doesn't talk. Uh-uh. She's just not talking to you. But she's going to talk. She's talking. I'm just telling you. Trying to help a brother. She's talking. Let's see what happens in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter's response shows me that he was not expecting this great catch of fish. He was probably a little irritated, a little agitated that Jesus would even suggest, Jesus the preacher, would suggest to him, the great fisherman, on how to drop down his nets and stuff. So Peter probably said it in an irritating, whining kind of voice, nevertheless, at your word. And then when the fish was starting to sink their boats, he knew that he was in the presence of God. Peter's response is what ours should be if we want to bring in our own spiritual catch. Don't try to earn it. Peter wasn't cocky or arrogant, says, oh yes, I've been faithful in the little things. Jesus used my boat. Don't forget it was my boat that he used. And you know, I've been faithful in the word and the things. No wonder God is using me. Oh, no, no. He fell humbly at the feet of Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is looking for more churches and more people like Peter he can bless, who, like Peter, will say, hey, I don't deserve what the Lord is doing in my life. It's only by his grace and his mercy that he is even using me at all. The highest form of worship is when we are just amazed at how good God has been to us, and all that we have, we don't deserve. It's only by his grace. That's the highest form of worship. Don't think that you are such a great catch for the Lord. Well, of course the Lord would use somebody like me. Of course. Oh, when we fall down at his feet and realize that, oh, it's only by your grace, your mercy, that you're even using me at all. Realizing there needs to be more churches, more people that's falling down at the feet of the Lord. And this moves us into the sixth principle of going from failure to success. Is number six, forsaking all for Christ. Look at verses 9 through 11. It says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I don't know about you, because of my type A personality and who I am, if I'd been here or even been in Peter's shoes, I would have been like, all right, okay, all right, let's expand the business. Let's get more boats, hire more fishermen. Hey, this is some happening stuff here. Look at all this fish here. All right, let's snap, snap, snap. Let's get going. But this is not what they did. They said, forget the fish. Matter of fact, forget the fishing industry. It's you that we want, Jesus. And they left it all to follow Jesus. They didn't ask. Jesus didn't ask them to do this. They did this on their own. What they realize is what they were striving for all of these years, to be successful in the fishing industry. It didn't matter anymore. They reached the pinnacle of success in their secular job. Finally, they finally reached it. But it didn't matter anymore. They left it all to follow Jesus. And I've seen many people do this. I have seen people finally reach success in their field to leave it all for Jesus and go into full-time ministry. People thought that they were crazy, but they went on to be used by God in a great way. And there are many, many people who would never do this. Never do this. But the ones who do have found the Lord has used them in a mighty, mighty way. Now, is God asking everyone to do this? No. Because if you take all the Christians out and bring them into Christian organizations, then, you know, how would the people be reached out there? But there are some people he is calling. Let me give you an example of the type of team, the type of paid staff we have here. We have someone here on our staff that used to be the East Coast regional trainer for her company. Used to do briefings on Capitol Hill to congressmen and senators. Was asked by a friend of hers to be her assistant. And she was the ambassador to Africa. And she left it all to come be on staff here at the church. We have someone else who had an incredible military career, and after retiring from the military, went on and was paid a six-figure salary to take on this job for the government. Left it all to come be on staff here. We have someone else who had above top secret clearance in computers with the government, doing all kind of stuff with them and networking and doing all the stuff, is also a part of our team. Folks who've reached success in their field to left it all, like these disciples have done, to follow the Lord. And God He is using them in an incredible, incredible way here. Amazing what God is doing. Is God asking everyone to do this? No. But there are some he is calling. I don't have a problem. I don't care what a person is doing. If God is putting it on my heart to cast vision to him, let him know and cast the kingdom of God and Jesus and how they can do things that will affect people temporarily or they can do things to affect people eternally and cast vision to him. There are some folks that's going to leave it all. Folks will say, you're crazy. You were doing what? And you left that to come. Sometimes I think they're crazy too to come deal with some of y'all, you know, but hey, and to deal with me, that's the biggest trip. But you know what? It's about Jesus. And they want their life to count for the Lord. And they left it all to follow the Lord. Incredible thing. Let me conclude with this. How do we go from failure to success? Number one, pressing in to hear the word of God, making the word of God a priority in our lives. Number two, by not giving up. It's always too soon to give up. Number three, by allowing God to stretch us. God is stretching some of you because there's a greater capacity. There's a greater catch of fish that he wants to use you to reach. Number four, by putting out a little before you launch out in the deep. You got to be faithful in the small things before God will use you in greater things. Number five, totally obeying instead of partially obeying. Don't forget, partial obedience is total disobedience. And number six, forsaking all for Christ. All six of these principles are important in going from failure to success, but the most important factor is falling down at the feet of Jesus in humility, saying, Lord, all I have done has been by your grace. I don't deserve what you're doing in my life. It's all because of you. This is more important than all the other principles because without humbling ourselves before the Lord, we will have the tendency to take the credit. We have the tendency to think we deserve what God is doing in our lives. So don't forget this most important factor in going from failure to success, falling down at the feet of Jesus, realizing that anything he's doing in your life is only by his grace. When you realize that, you will definitely go from failure to success. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your grace that you've showered us with. Thank you for your word that you've given us. Lord, continue to speak that word in our hearts and our lives. Continue to move in our lives. Lord, we need you so desperately. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts. Let this word be in our hearts that we not sin against you. Moving us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.